But we've been in Romans chapter, we've been in the book of Romans, and we're going to start Romans chapter 12 tonight. And we're just going to start reading at verse number 1. Here's what, I'm going to read the first 8 verses. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And hear the word of the Lord tonight. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The King James Version says your reasonable service. And we're going to talk about both of those, spiritual worship versus reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world. We're going to talk about that word world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse number 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ. And let me just say that us sitting here together tonight, even though there are several of us here, and we are all, each one of us, individuals, we are one body here tonight. And that's the point that Paul is making, that says that though we are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. And the one who leads, with zeal, to the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So let's pray today. God, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word. And again, we do not come approach your word haphazardly, but we approach it carefully and reverently and respectfully, God. And we pray that you would take your word and let it minister to our hearts, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, so in verse 1 of this chapter, Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. First of all, he says that he is appealing to them or beseeching them by the mercies of God, not by the wrath of God, or by the judgment of God. And you notice, I'm sure we've all been in services, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do this. I mean, you just got to just preach the scripture, but you've been in services to where the appeal that is made in the preaching is actually done by the wrath of God or by the judgment of God, to where, you know, you get scared. And I believe, who was it that preached that message hundreds of years ago? I think Charles Spurgeon. Who was it that preached a sinner in the hands of an angry God? And they said that people would get up and cry and run out of the church that they were so scared at the message. And Paul here in this case is not appealing to the church at Rome by the wrath of God or by the judgment of God. He says, no, by the mercies of God. I'm appealing to you to present your bodies And that word body, I think many of us misunderstand. And it's very important, okay? I'm going to give you a point that's very important. There's words that just don't translate from one language to another, okay? And even in languages that are very, very similar, like English and Spanish have a lot of similarities, there are some words that just do not translate. You just do not translate. And basically every translation translates this body. But this word in the Greek is, the Greek word is soma. And soma does not refer just to this fleshly body. The soma in the Greek refers to the entire person, the entire being, your body, your soul, and your spirit. It refers to your mind, your thought processes, the whole being. So when Paul said to present your bodies, he's not just talking about this fleshly body. He's talking about everything you are, everything that's in you, whether it be this fleshly body, whether it be your mind, whether it be your soul, your spirit, your heart, present it, or as in the Greek, to make it available, to make available your entire being. And to do it as a living sacrifice. Okay? A living sacrifice. In the Old Testament covenant, God accepted the sacrifices of dead animals. And in fact, in the Old Testament, a sacrifice wasn't a sacrifice if it was alive and could get up and walk off that altar. Okay? It wasn't sacrificed. The only way it was sacrificed was if it was dead. But guess what? Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind, for all in the past and for all in the future. So if you can't sacrifice your body and have it mean anything to God, because Christ has already been the ultimate sacrifice. And so we, and in fact it says in Hebrews chapter 9, it says he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and the calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. So we, these days, are to offer ourselves sacrificially, but as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. And that means, you know, you don't, before you came to God, before we came to God, you walked in the desires of your own heart and mind. And did what you wanted to do, said what you wanted to do. It was whatever pleases you. Paul is saying, no, now live sacrificially in a way that pleases God. And I just really feel that applies to everything. I think it applies to, I'm going to tell you some of the pet peeves I've got, okay? Have you ever been in a restaurant with somebody and they bite the waitress's head off? I can think of one certain evangelist that we had down in California. And I mean, he was caustic to the waitress. And I finally told him, I said, dude, you know, a week from now, you're going to be 1,000 miles down the road. But I've got to come back here to this restaurant. This is the town that I pastor in. And I said, the way that you're treating her is not a good reflection on our church. And for that matter, it's not a good reflection on the gospel. And so that's why it says to offer up your body. It's more than just this fleshly body. It's your whole being. You know, you need everything you do, you need to say, is this pleasing to God? Does God want this? Does God like this? And then lastly, in this verse, it says that you're to live holy and acceptable to God, which is, and this translation says, your spiritual service. And, spiritual worship. This is your spiritual worship, whereas the King James says, your reasonable service. And those two sound very, very different. Reasonable service versus spiritual worship. The only thing I can say is that this Greek word for service, it does mean service in the Greek. It does mean service in the Greek, but it means a service that is a religious rite, something that you would perform in a religious meeting, you know, kind of like a priest doing something. And and so this word in the Greek means to perform a worship, a service that is a worship type of a service. And the big deal about this, in my opinion, is in my mind, if you're like me, I mean, and I hope you're not, because I hope your mind's at least a little bit better than mine. But in my mind, worship is something you do in a church service. When you have worship, okay, you know, let's enter into worship. Sister Wiggins, get on the piano. If some of the praise team can get up here and sing, and Carl, get on the bass, and let's enter into worship. And that's worship. What Paul is saying here is you living a godly, holy life 7 days a week. That's your spiritual worship. So worship, according to Paul here in Romans 12, is not confined to just when you gather together for a church service and start singing songs. That is worship too. Don't get me wrong. That is worship. That is worship. But Paul here is saying that presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, that is worshipful unto God. So when you are a Christian to the, when you are a Christian to the waitress, and when stuff like that happens, you just, that right there is spiritual worship. And you may not feel very spiritual at the time. Sister Kristen, yes.
Like it's logical.
No, and I looked that up. It does. It can have that. Yes. Yes.
So like that's where they got the logical.
Yes.
Sound judgment.
Having what is it?
Sound.
Interesting. Very. Now you're making me jump over here, and because I want to look up something here. Let me see here. When I if I look up this word spiritual. I've got. Let me see some different lexicons here. BDAG, thoughtful, Lou and Nida, rational, genuine, and true, true, real in nature. And some say that this word can actually also be translated as spiritual. I don't know, but it does. It does put a little, interesting though, it does put a little bit of a spin on it that it's not just something you do in church, it's something that you do 7 days a week.
It's kind of like the logical pretend of your walk with God.
Excellent, yeah. And I like that. I like that. In other words, I guess what you would say is that word logical means this is the way it is supposed to be. You know, just the way an apple tree bears apples. An apple tree doesn't bear oranges. And so this is your logical, reasonable thing that you're going to do if you're a true Christian. Very good. Very good. Very good. I mean, is that what you were thinking, Kristen? Yes. Very good. Very good. Then in verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I don't have this in my notes, so let me jump ahead and just say this. I can get up here and tell you what's right and wrong. I can get up here and say, okay, this is right, this is right, this is right, this is right. This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. You know, I can get up here and say, you know, Bill, please put it up on the overhead. Here on this side is things that are everything that's right. Here's everything that's wrong. The problem is that, number one, I can't name everything that's right and wrong. And number two, they just make for a lousy church service. Okay? Okay, just make for a lousy church service. So I'm just putting it this way. I have no, believe me, I have no intrepidation, or I have no problem preaching against sin, because I've got to answer to God for my ministry. So yeah, I will preach and teach and say what is wrong. Okay? Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me on that. But I do want to say that if you look at this verse, look at the last of this, he's talking to individual members of the church there in Rome, and he says that by testing, you may discern that you guys, the end objective in teaching and coming to church and going through the scripture is to impart knowledge and understanding to you guys, to where you are informed and capable and able to discern between right and wrong, and what's good and what's not good. And that's why, I can't preach everything that needs to be preached. I can't teach every little thing that needs to be taught. There needs to be some discernment in the individual Christian. And this is what Paul's talking about here when he says about not being conformed to this world. One of the things that that's going to do is you're going to get to where you're going to have discernment. You're going to be, and I'm going to use the illustration that you guys have heard 100 times in church, so please don't roll your eyes too much. But you've heard it said that in banks, the way that they, years ago, I don't know that they still do this anymore, but back in the 70s, the way that they trained bank tellers to recognize counterfeit money was not by showing them counterfeit money. The way they trained them was they would have them work exclusively with money that they knew was genuine and real. And when they got so used to the real stuff, when they would lay their fingers on a counterfeit bill, that's counterfeit. That's not the real deal. Okay? And that's some discernment. That is discernment that that bank teller has. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we are living in a day and an age in which we as Christians need to have discernment. We need to be able to tell the difference between right and wrong and not get confused. And it says here in this passage, it says, don't be conformed to this world. And I can't really explain very good what that means in the Greek, other than to just say it like this. This water takes on the shape of whatever you pour it into. Okay? Water can be a round ball. Water can be a square. Water can be a triangle. It's just, it takes whatever shape you pour it into. And what Paul is saying here is that you are not to conform to this world the way that water conforms to whatever shape that it's in. And the other thing that's interesting about this verse is basically almost every English translation out there says world, okay? But the word in the Greek, and we covered this when we were studying eschatology, the word here is aeon. And does anybody remember what aeon means? Age, yes. Paul is saying, do not be conformed. He was telling the church there in Rome, do not be conformed to this present age. Do not be conformed to this present age. You need to be concerned not about this present age, but getting yourself conformed to the age to come. Okay? The what life is going to be like in eternity. Oh, yeah. Changes.
So, yes, because of changes, it's not this sin in this time.
Right. The things, the issues that the church in Rome would have been dealing with, Carol Lee, are probably completely different than what we're dealing with here.
You can only deal with those two.
Believe me. Yeah. And I'll even say this. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're so inexpensive. I mean, you can just go out and just buy another one, right? And yes, I have done that. Other people can laugh. I'm not going to laugh because I've dumped this laptop. And man, you don't get a good feeling when you do that. But I'll even say this, Carol Lee, is that even here living in the United States, regionally, we have great differences in culture. And the Pacific Northwest is a beast all its own. Okay? And I came back from down there in southern Oregon when I was deer hunting. And I was in some little town that's just a little hick town. And before I say this, let me say my disclaimer. I realize that you cannot judge a person always on the outward appearance, okay? Even God told Samuel that. He says, you know, you judge man, you know, but God judges the heart. So I'm not trying to just be superficial here, but I was down there in Southern Oregon for a week, Sister Carol Lee, and it's a hick town. Just a hick town. And I mean, I was getting coffee one morning, and I had my deer rifle. I forgot, you know. I had my deer rifle right there in the truck seat, and I pulled up this little coffee kiosk as I was getting out of town, and the lady serving me the coffee looks with us. Ah, you're going hunting today, huh? Hey, that's just natural to them, okay? I came back here and went into Fred Meyer, and I walk up, and the lady that was checking me out was going to have, it was blue and purple hair. A very strikingly, the purple really.
Vibrant?
Very vibrant, very vibrant, very vibrant. Very, very, very good word to use, yeah. Extremely vibrant. And while she is checking me out, this other checker comes over to ask her a question. And her hair was red. And I'm not talking redheaded, I'm talking this, you know, neon red. Red, yeah, kind of a fuchsia, red and orange, kind of a burnt orange, I guess so. And I just said to myself, okay, Toto, you're back in the Portland Metro, man. You're back in the Portland Metro. And when me and Sister Wiggins, you know, we don't fly as much as we, in recent years, we haven't flown that, but all of us pretty much have flown. And one of the things that I've noticed, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, and I'm talking about this present age. Tell me if I'm wrong on this, or if this has happened to you. I'm sitting in Dallas-Fort Worth, okay? My flight is going to go from Dallas-Fort Worth directly to Portland. And I'm trying to find my gate. And all of a sudden, I look up, and I see somebody dressed up all gothic and just all these piercings and hair all this color. And I thought, I'll just follow them because that's it. And did you know what? She sat two rows behind me on the plane. And Sister Wiggins, we've talked about that in airports, that when you can always go to the gates. You always know the gate of the flight that's leaving for Portland, because you can look. I'll say, oh yeah, I know this. This is the hometown crowd here, you know. And what's that, Carl? Welcome to the freak show. Welcome to the freak show. But Paul was saying, don't be conformed to this present age. And there is a present age here in this Portland metro that's not in other places of the United States. And our duty as Christians is to not take on the shape or the form or the worldview of this present age here in this Portland metros. We've got to have our nose in this book and let this book shape our worldview, not let the environment around us affect us this way. And that's what Paul was saying here. And in fact, he said in Galatians chapter 1, the same word that was translated, be not conformed to this world, aeon, is the same Greek word that Paul used in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, when he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present age. If you look at it in the Greek, is to deliver us from this aeon, this present age, this present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father. But to deliver us from this present evil age, this present evil aeon. And we're going to end on this verse. I've gotten two verses. I got too busy talking about airports and stuff, and now we're only going to get two verses in. But let me just say that the rest of this verse says that you're not to be transformed, you're not to be conformed, but you're to be transformed. And that is by the renewing of your mind. And if you look in the 51st Psalm, and we've sang this, the 51st Psalm in church, we all know this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew, God. I need my mind renewed. I need to be renewed. And it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, it says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer nature or outer man is wasting away. And Lloyd, you were talking before church about a pain back here, and he's got a pain back here, and his Sister Wiggins, he's got a pain in the same place you got a pain. You guys need to talk after church. Try to figure something out. But it says, though our outer man is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. Do not lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old self or the old man with its practices and put on the new man or new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. Paul said the renewing of your mind. Here he says that you're being renewed by knowledge. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt. That's the truth. Through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And I've said this before, I want to say it again. I really feel the devil, don't get me wrong, Satan is evil and wicked, and he's fighting, he's the accuser of the brethren, all of that. But sometimes I really wonder if he's accused of a lot of things that he had nothing to do with. And if you're like me, your greatest enemy is staring back at you in the mirror every night. And you're, the real battle is right here in your... And if you're going to make it as a Christian, just like this verse says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to renew your mind. Because if your head is not right, you're going to be messed up. And the last thing I'll say, and this is the very last word, that word transformed in the Greek is, this is a very familiar sounding word, metamorpho. You've heard of metamorphosis. And this Greek word is metamorpho. And it is the same word. And now, I'm going to say this and you're going to, please don't, I'll say this and then we can all have a good laugh, I guess. That is the same Greek word, or it says, be you transformed, is the same Greek word of when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and he was transfigured. And it says that his face shone like the sun and his garments were white as snow. He was transfigured. That is the same Greek word. And so you're going to say, well, so Brother Wiggins, does that mean I'm going to walk around glowing? And no, I don't think, not in this life, not in this age. But it needs to be that kind of a trend. Jesus was transformed into a totally different kind. Where Peter, James, and John said, oh my goodness. And that's what we need to be reaching for, not to have our face glow like the sun, not to have our clothes, you know, shine whiter than wool, but to have the inner man be changed like that. Or you just say, okay, this is a different Tim Wiggins. This is a different Kristen. This is a different Lloyd. This is a different Eunice. This is, you know, that there's a difference in them. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And I'm going to go ahead and I just made it through verse 2 and I've got quite a bit more to go on, but I'm going to, I've been going about 35 minutes there, so I'm going to bring this in. Is there anybody got a question, comment, or anything they want to throw out before we bring it? Sister Kristen.
I was just thinking about what you're saying about this things that were considered bad are now considered good, and what was considered good is now bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're fully realizing that in a form of training for this and training for that.
Oh, yeah.
Diversity, inclusion, and whatever. Equity. About the verse Romans 3:4, God forbid ye be a liar. And I thought, you know, we have to just, when we're barraged on all sides, new ideas, we need to not confuse and go back to that rock of our salvation.
Yeah.
What's the basic?
Yes.
God is true.
Yes.
Man is a liar.
Yes. Boom.
And
yeah.
And when we can pare it down, we have so many things coming to help us to get our perspective back in balance.
Kristen, that is so true. That is so true. And there are so many. The day, the age that we're living in now is that, I mean, I'll just name some things that we all, just about all of us, have and use. Facebook. Instagram. YouTube. Did you know all of those have been taken over by people that want to totally destroy the Christian life? And they go in and do, Carl, what's the word I'm looking for? They do, not censorship, but what's the computer technical term?
Algorithm.
Algorithm. There it is. Algorithm. Thank you, Carl. thank you, Sister Biggins. But they'll go in and program algorithms in their software to make it to where certain videos are almost impossible to find on their site. They're there, but they won't show up in the search engine because they don't want they don't want. If you want to publish something of a Christian nature, you can, you know, get sin, yeah, very easily on YouTube or Facebook for that matter. I know, exactly. I mean, if you want to get on to Facebook and talk about a drag queen going and reading story time to a bunch of kindergarten kids, you can do that on Facebook all you want to, and you're never going to have any problem at all. But you get on Facebook and talk about against that stuff, your post gets flagged and you get warned, and they'll delete your Facebook account if you keep on doing it. And that's the world we're living in, folks. That the major media around us, I'm not saying it's more challenging now than it was 20 years ago, but I'm just saying it's as challenging right now to be a Christian as it ever has been. It's challenging, but very good. Anybody else? Okay, well, let's all stand tonight. Amen. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for your word. And God, truly, in this present age that we are living in, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God, where would we go without your word, Lord? And God, take your word and let it be in our hearts that we won't just know it, but that we will live it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen.